Well, hello and welcome to the Church Office Podcast. My name is Gavin Smith and it's a joy to welcome you today to this administration, admin and ops podcast. We love talking about the work of ministry behind the scenes. And my special guest today is Andy Wedderley from Birmingham, aren't you? From Grace Church, Sturchley, am I saying that correctly?
That's right. Yeah, you're saying it right, Gavin. Yeah, Grace Church, Sturchley.
And you're a pastor there, and we love getting pastors on the board. And today's topic is I hired a church administrator, and this is what Andy's done as a pastor, and more into operations as well, and we'll get into that conversation. But it's a joy to have you on, mate, and really excited to hear a little bit about your church and about you. So yeah, fill us in on the church, because it's a church plant from a larger church in Birmingham, is that right?
Yeah, it is, although I've got to stop calling it a church plant because we planted 17 years ago. So we've been involved in planting other churches. So I definitely feel like we're through that phase now.
Yeah, slightly.
But yeah, yeah. So we've been here, I've been here from the start. So yeah, 17 years here and sort of seeing the church grow through some different phases and evolve sort of through some different things. Planted from a larger church, planted into a very specific local community, aiming to be a church with really embedded within a community with a local community feel, but trying to also maintain a bigger vision for the city, which we sort of try and do through church planting and some of our involvement with wider things going on in the city.
I love that. I spent every Saturday for the last few years traveling to Birmingham. One of my girls is part of the Royal Ballet. And driving into the city centre to kind of do some ballet classes was, it's an interesting city, I got to say.
It does have, it's got unique challenges and unique opportunities. So I think actually if we learn how to see the church grow here, actually that will serve other parts of the UK as well that are experiencing what we're experiencing in Birmingham. I mean, it's an incredibly diverse city. It's a hyper-diverse city, almost 200 languages natively spoken. 50,000 people live in the city who can't speak English. Almost a third of the city now are Muslims as well. So it does, there's significant challenges to church growth, and we can't simply just rely on operating how we have done previously. We're trying to figure out what does it mean to do mission for this city and this community.
I love that. It's great. And we've connected through your church operations manager, Vic. She came down and did a visit to us at Christchurch, and what a joy it was to have her kind of see her and see her in action, just see her thinking. She's been a fairly new post for you, sort of 18 months into the role. And what I'm hoping this podcast will do will kind of create a little bit of kind of stimulus to have some conversations with pastors. And there's a growing conversation, I'd say, amongst leaders saying, actually, is there a full-time or a part-time role for somebody in this kind of administration and operations role? So fill us in, what was your kind of thinking to move towards actually appointing somebody? Because you've been a well-resourced church, you're very well organized from what I can see. Fill us in on your thinking.
Yeah, I think some people might, people within the church might raise an eyebrow when you're saying we're well organized. I think we might have some aspirations to that, but I'm not sure how well we've done in delivery. And actually part of that was really behind this role, in the sense that some things had grown, some ministries had grown, we're not a massive church by any means. We're about 100 members within the church, but that means sort of Sunday congregation is 150, 160 across a couple of sites at the moment, different things. So we're not massive, but we realized we were hitting what they talk about as being the awkward sized church. And we realized that there were a whole load of things creaking or starting to creak. Yeah. So just noticing things around communications, both internal and external communications, some things just about how we'd operated. We were a church plant, so we came actually probably with an attitude of saying we don't really want lots of policies and procedures. Those things slow us down on decision making. We want to be able to trial and innovate, and we don't want to be hamstrung by having, you know, lots of people saying, well, this is how this should be run, or that, or but I think you hit a point where actually you grow beyond that and say, no, actually we can't continue to function. I mean, the model we talked around was sort of like the around the family table, you know, making decisions family together, and family, but realizing actually most, you know, if you're trying to function purely as a family with a family model with 150 people, that doesn't really work anymore. And then thinking, what happens if we continue to grow? We're going to have to build some things that, and it's quite hard. I mean, maybe give you one or two concrete examples, but we just realized that for us to grow, none of the things that we were doing were particularly scalable. Yeah. And so increasingly I felt my role, I was key decision maker for all sorts of things that it wasn't just that I just increasingly felt like I wasn't the competent person to be making the decision, let alone whether it was appropriate for me to be the decision maker for all sorts of things. So just starting to think, right, well, part of the plan for growth here has got to be to delegate significant decision-making and organization, mixed with all of the frustration that just communications don't, you know, you're one or two people on a staff team trying to actually glean good information or to make effective decisions, and then communicating that with some degree of order and plans. Yeah. Just how do you do that well? And we just realized, I would describe it as creaking. I described it 2 or 3 years ago as creaking, because we're just hitting a whole load of things where, just communications particularly became the obvious thing, but there were probably a whole set of things around policies and procedures behind the scenes where we just were becoming ineffective. And we're certainly going to, if we continue to grow, all that was going to increase was the potential for conflict and the potential for just nothing really working in a scale way.
Yeah, I think that's good. You pick up some really good points. And there are these kind of, you talk about that kind of awkward church size and moving from 100 going into something to 200. You know, what we've found, and as we've, you know, begun to talk to more and more leaders, is actually there are some significant roles and you know, aspects of communication and organization that we do need to start to develop and create some structures that will enable us to grow. And that's, I guess, what we've seen with you, isn't it? Is this lovely growth as you brought somebody in to bring that kind of clarity. But it isn't, as we were talking before, it isn't just an administrative role, is it? We're talking here about a leadership role here with people who can make decisions, you know, that really do matter. And that's an interesting point here, isn't it, to draw out for leaders. This isn't just someone who can pick up your organizing your diary or, you know, send out the church newsletter and, you know, sort out a few expenses and whatever. This is actually somebody thinking about how they can structure and develop this role. Would you agree with that? Yeah,
we actually, just to geek out for a second, when we were designing the role, Kevin, we actually wrote out, we had a little spreadsheet with three columns.
Yeah.
And so we wrote out three job descriptions. One was for a church administrator, one was for a church manager, and one was for an operations manager.
Yeah.
And the reason for doing that was saying, probably what we've needed was a church administrator. Probably what we need now is a church manager. And what we'll need is an operations manager. So how can we design a role? And we were aware that we didn't want to, advertise one role and then do a switch and bait on someone. Yeah. So saying to someone, come and be an administrator, and we're going to be paid like an administrator. But what we really need, is an operations director or something. I think it was operations director, was that third category. And do so. What we wanted to do was to say, well, we want to be able to cover what we need, but have vision for what the role might become, and recognizing it is a leadership role, so it is going to involve some strategic decisions. It's not just about the expenses. It's not just about, you know, submitting expenses or those sorts of things. Yeah. It's about designing a system that will solve a problem for the whole church on that, being able to make a decision around that. So I think that's, we could sort of see a trajectory where it could go, and wanted to employ into that.
Yeah, that's great. And I think one of the things that we keep saying to pastors who are having these conversations with us at the church office is saying, you've got to find the right person, haven't you, for the character of someone, the fit into the kind of leadership team, that kind of people focus, that, you know, has got that kind of theological edge as well, to say actually the scripture does inform our practice and we want it to be informed, we want there to be a sense of order and organization. Those things take a bit of time, don't they? And I think if someone's listening to this thinking, great, yes, we've got the same needs, great, we're going to find someone. But actually, sometimes it's about finding the person before releasing them into the role. And what you've got with Vic is a very excellent, excellent lady who really gets the gospel, who gets administration. And what we can see is her being really effective, can't we?
So again, on the job, I have a little just a frustration sometimes that churches can you can throw anything into a job description, and it, mm-hmm. I guess it's probably a notion of when stuff gets designed by committee.
Yes,
just got people saying, and another thing that they could do, or another thing about the person we want is this, and you just create this list that is just probably, I think we were aware, might be unrealistic for somebody. Or actually might be off-putting for the right person, because you might have somebody who's perfectly capable and competent to do the role that we actually need them to do. But because we've so packed out the role, they're sort of reading it through and thinking, but there's so much here that I couldn't fulfill. So we wanted to design the role to make it realistic and to be precise on what we thought we needed. So we wanted someone who'd have some understanding of how churches work behind the scenes, or, you know, had some experience of Christian organizations, but also really had the character, because we were aware it was a leadership role to some degree, and somebody who obviously would be organized and would think structures and processes. What we've ended up with is someone who not only fulfills all of those things, but she's also great with people and pastoral gifting as well. So the role has been able to morph to reflect some of those things as well. But we didn't want to, we didn't want to create a hybrid role, because we thought it would just be unrealistic for one person. Actually, how it's worked out, well, it has been able to become more of a hybrid role, but that's part of, I think, just as you gain someone in post, you can begin to tweak the post around their gifting and to reflect what they're good at and effective.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I know Vic's got a real heart for women's ministry, isn't she? And as people serve in our churches, there's so much discipleship that takes place while they serve, isn't there? And so that aspect of that gifting in those areas just makes everything work, doesn't it? And it's great. Now, one of the pushbacks that I've had from other church leaders before is, you know, we've got a really, you know, healthy eldership, we've got a healthy bunch of deacons that are deployed in lots of different roles, and to some extent, looking at your structure, you've got that, but you still went ahead and appointed somebody else into a role. I want to do a big shout out for your deacon, who you've got two deacons, haven't you, connecting people and to service, which I've been saying for years and years, we need somebody to kind of, you know, volunteer coordinator is not the right word, but actually kind of a service coordinator that goes, actually, how do we connect people into these roles? And you've got deacons that are doing that. So big shout out for them. Love that. I think it's great leadership from yourself and the team there. But answering this question of kind of, oh, well, we've got deacons and we can have people in a kind of, you know, a volunteer kind of role as opposed to paying somebody. How would you sort of answer that?
Yeah, I mean, it is a great role. That's been such a help, having that deacon role. I'm going to shout out City Church Manchester, because they were the first church that I'd sort of heard and seen were doing that, and thought, I'm stealing that idea. And I think for us, I mean, what it does mean is that we like, I guess, many churches, you have problems with how you identify who are the right people and creating avenues and areas into serving and matching. And you've got teams that need additional help. And if you are the sole person, as so many churches are, with the sole pastor, and you try to figure all of that out, it is complex. We realize in our situation, it's made complex by the fact that we're in a city, we've got a throughput of people, and therefore we've got new people joining all the time. We've got people going all the time. And therefore, actually, there's a greater dynamism here. There's some opportunity with that, but also, again, it was one of the things that was just creaking. So actually having people in that post, I would also say that's one of the harder areas for those deacons to be serving compared with deacon roles, because
yes, again, I agree.
Have a sense of, they've just got to have time in order to meet with new people who are joining the church and be meeting with team leaders, and so that is a strain for them. So again, it's great to have an idea, but it's still hard to work out. They do an incredible job, but it isn't an easy role. I think for us, looking at the operations side of things, we're saying even having that doesn't solve all of the issues, particularly around internal communications, external communication. We wanted someone who was able to communicate competently, not just within the church, but also externally from the church. I think wanted someone who, again, with a building like we've got, he's able to interact with building hirers, have vision for people who are using the building, somebody who's able and competent to interact with other people who are in leadership and serving roles within the church at a senior level, to be organizationally structuring things, and really to be it's doing the systems thinking, which again, I think as pastors, we just really struggle to do, to think, how do I grow some healthy systems and processes here? I think sometimes, you know, and I know I found the thinking that came out a few years ago with the trellis and vine, that kind of thinking has been really useful for me in terms of thinking, how do I am as church pastor, I'm obsessed with the healthy vine. How do we create healthy disciples of Jesus Christ? But with it, thinking, actually, some of our structures can threaten some of that and threaten some of our function as the church. So how do we also develop a healthy set of structures that mean that we are running the charity appropriately, that means we're running the internal church structures really healthily, so that as the vine is growing, it's growing around a healthy thing. And for us, the movement away from family, which is highly organic, spontaneous, everybody sort of knows everything, you know, there's a fluid and dynamic movement of information that just flows relationally, and saying, actually, once you hit a particular size of church, which we were hitting, actually that way of functioning becomes a threat rather than assets, because some people don't know everything and the flow of information stops kind of going to certain points, and then you've got people feeling excluded or left out, or it's not clear who's making which decision and why. And those are all of the sort of issues that we're trying to solve with this role.
Yeah, no, that's great. Maybe just explain to us a little bit about the interaction then of sort of yourself and Vic, and the sort of the elders and the deacons. How does that kind of work together? Because I've seen lots of churches do different things. So I will sit in the kind of elders meeting sometimes, and we have kind of a management team meeting where there are key roles that come together every 2 weeks, and we'll work through, you know, what do we need to do now, and what are some of the things that we need to develop and work on. How does that structure for you guys? What does that look like?
Yeah, I think we need to, I mean, I will say this, I think we need to rethink some of this a little bit, because we've not actually thought that through and redesigned very much since having Vic in the role. Having said that, we I think from the early days of wanting the role, we wanted to have at least 2 points of contact for her as she comes in. One is me, who's able to manage, but then other people outside me who are able to look after, disciple, you know, be more invested in her growing spiritually. We've just found in the past it's hard for one person to be able to do both a supervisory role and also a discipleship role. So I would say to anyone, as you're looking at developing members of staff, just be thinking multiple points of contact, or at least 2 points of contact.
Yeah, I think that's really wise.
Because otherwise it's just really hard to both manage someone and be a primary offering primary support, and also there might be a limitation on what we're able to talk about, or the sorts of things that I'm able to help her with.
Yeah. Yes.
And probably pastorally, that might not always be appropriate. So just sort of thinking through some of those things, really. We do have, because we've got a little staff team, we've got a great co-pastor who works with me, another kind of co-pastor who's in, that's a training and development role. And then we've got two missionaries who are working with us at the moment as well. So we've got, we've got a luxury of resources right now. At the moment. But what that's meant is we've got the, something has coalesced where we're able to have a staff team. So we have a staff team weekly where we not only review services and plan for the week ahead and services coming up, but we actually talk together about how we're doing and talk about some of the challenges that we're facing and different things. We go through, because we're Brits and we struggle to talk emotions. We actually have an emotions wheel that we share out. This is something I learned from some American friends of ours. Sitting in one of their church staff meetings. But it just helps focus us to say, this is how I'm feeling right now and this is why. And again, because our roles are so spiritually entwined, even in what might be an operations role, but actually the things that we're doing are spiritually entwined. I think it's important for us to be able to talk about and say, these are the challenges that I've been facing through this last week, or this is what I'm dreading this week, and some of those things, and try and do that as a team. I do have weekly supervisions with Vic as well, just to make sure that, because again, with some of this role, it's been a really complex role. Part of the involvement of you, Gavin, has been, you know, when we recruited Vic, I sort of said, this is the role that we can sort of see, that sort of, you know, the job description and everything else. Just bear in mind, I can't really actually show you how to do the job, because I've not been doing the job. And actually part of everything that's been creaking has been because this is a totally new role. Yeah. So we've wanted those weekly meetings to sort of be able to say, well, you know, just to set strategic objectives, to be able to feedback, to be able to ask advice and input on things, to be able to realize the implications of some of the decisions maybe having for elders and trustees, particularly of the nature of the role and how it interacts with other things. So wanting to make sure there is weekly input, and that's not slowed yet, that's not gone to every other week and those sorts of things. We're working in the same space for a good part of the week as well, so that there is a overflow of information and those kind of quick questions about how things. And obviously in the first months of the role, that would be more than just a weekly interaction in terms of a job, but more regular than that. And then actually plugging Vic in with yourselves and some other churches that we know locally who've got similar roles. Mm-hmm. Actually, those churches were very willing. As I said to them, can we, can I send Vic to you? And you don't have to do very much, but if you could give us some time to just talk through the challenges of the role, challenges of interacting with elders and different things like that, but also so that she can sit in some of your meetings. And what that's provided is a peer group for her, but also for us as a church, it means when she's writing policies and procedures, she's not starting with zero, but she's utilizing the resources that obviously you guys produce, but wider FICs, so we're an FIC church, some of those resources there, but also there are other churches that she's able to draw on that might be a similar size or might be slightly larger than us, where they can help not just deliver a document, but Vic can unpick with an individual to say, but how did that play out in this area? Or we've got this challenge in our church that this policy would need to address, and having someone working under the hood. So connecting with not just how we connect with other processes internally, but also thinking externally, how can we help this role be healthy?
That's great. And I love the way that you guys are supporting Vic. And I think for some pastors, it might be great. Let's get somebody in this role. Great. I can release these tasks. Great. Just get on with it. And the job is done at that point. But actually, no, there is this kind of connection, spiritual connection that we've grown. Yeah, actually, we need you to hear the heartbeat of the church. We want you to capture what's going on. We want to capture our priorities. And then how do you go and take those priorities and think, right, well, how do you use your gifts then to build that into the right church, and what that looks like. So, I love that support. Gavin, go for it.
So one of the things that, when I think it is just an important principle when bringing people in is probably to realize there's going to be short-term cost for long-term gain.
Yeah.
But I think very often we want short-term gain, expect people to perform at the level we want them to perform. form. And I think we realized that with this kind of role, again, it's easy because it might feel like it's a more task orientated role to say, here are all the tasks, here's your to-do list. And obviously, you know, here's the projects that need you to manage over the next, you know, 12 months. And there was lots of that with Vic. But also saying there were, we had a number of conversations as well about just the church philosophy of ministry around the staff culture. What I talk about is our staff postures. So that the place that we naturally slump in terms of how we approach problems or people or situations, talking about some of those things to say, this is these are the set of things that we want to be instinctive. As you're approaching things, because otherwise you just end up with lots of conflict, not around necessarily whether the job is being done, but how it's being done and how things are being communicated. We tried to do, you know, some work on that. And that is short-term cost, but the long-term gain already 18 months into the role, I'm inputting very little. But in terms of what Vic's delivering, has been very significant for everything. Everything hoped and more.
Yeah, that's great. And sort of 20 years on for me and at my role, there'll be points in our team where it's like, Gav, actually, you need to lead the team now as we think about this next step, or as we're going away on a team retreat and we're trying to review our finances and we're trying to look at our priorities and how we then work those through. How we bring that kind of alignment, they're saying, actually, Gav, we think you need to take a lead on this. And so the roles do grow into, you actually do start to see much more leadership gifting coming out. And there are points where everyone goes, right, okay, Gav, we need you to think about this. And we're not going to take the time to think about this. You know, we're going to trust you, go and speak to other churches, draw the trustees in, build, you know, make your networks and your contacts and find out what the next step is that you think is confident. And
I think I wonder if I keep interrupting you, Gavin, but I wonder whether particularly for people who've been in a sole pastorate and for whom this might be a first or maybe a very small team, because you get so used to being the key decision maker on all sorts of things and you're only ever thinking about your own personal development it can be quite a change of thinking to say, not just what am I looking forward to giving up when this person comes along. And thinking a little bit selfishly about what parts of the world I want to go away. But also thinking, well, how do I really develop this person? What might it cost me long term? So again, to be continually revisiting that and thinking, where do I need to give away responsibility? So I know for me, it's, you know, giving away responsibility for what's on the agenda for staff meetings or leading those staff meetings might come at some short-term costs, but again, the long-term gain for having people developed in that role who are thinking at a higher level and actually more competent at doing some of those things. I'm very optimistic that is, you know, quite significant, but it comes with a cost of giving away some of that, which can be difficult for those of us who are addicted to having been the key decision maker and everything.
Kind of being the funnel that everything goes through, and it does change. Yes. It does change, and I know leaders that have appointed people and then have found it really hard to let go of some of the things. But it is good. And I mean, most of the time, most of the church administrators that I've met or operations managers in that kind of role, they love. There's a real heart that I've seen to release pastors to do the work of ministry that God's called them to do. And there is a real posture to say, how can we serve to release you? And has this process benefited you? I know we're talking about short and long-term gain, but if you looked over the 18 months and gone, God, this is the right decision. I've actually found myself being able to do what God's called me to do in this.
The short answer, yes. And long-term and long answer is yes, definitely. Yeah. And not in ways that I necessarily would have expected. So I think maybe in the short term, there were things that I was noticing that were just being done. So overcoming some of those hurdles that I talked about, particularly around communications, people just where communications can be a conflict within church life. People go, I didn't know that was happening, or I would have liked to have been told, or I would have liked to be informed in that decision. All of that very quickly got unstuck and was really, really helpful. The long term, though, is that there's a whole set of things that I'm not thinking about anymore or not having to plan into, and just projects that are just being delivered. And, you know, I can come and say, well, actually, I'm sort of thinking about some of our processes on this. And Vic so often will be ahead of my thinking on a whole set of things, which just in terms of, it's not just in terms of time capacity, but it's about the sort of strategy I'm able to now think about that I can come and think on the Trellis stuff. I can be aware that there might be decisions that we're going to have to make that will have Trellis implications around how we're structured as a church, but I can leave someone else to solve all of those problems. Yeah. And I can't really sort of describe the release that gives and the freedom that gives. But it is significant. And then also, maybe just in terms of some of the things I'm able to be involved in externally from Grace Church, again, not feeling like those things necessarily need to be in conflict, but I'm confident of, again, the communication stuff that's going on within the church, where I feel a little bit more released to do the day a week where I'm training church planters and things.
Yeah,
I actually feel able to step away from church to be able to have that as a focus. And I think I can see how that role is.
It's enabled that to happen. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. I love that. And I guess what's interesting again with your model is that you've taken co-pastors with you and the church needs that as they grow. But often the point where you've hired Vic, people have gone for a specialist role like a kids worker or a youth worker, or they've gone music for some. And so they've gone specialty. But there's something wonderful, isn't there, about, you know, you bring somebody into an administrative role. It releases people, enables more to be done. It enables things to flow and work better. We talk about communication and those things. I'm a huge advocate on the podcast and in wherever I go to not just hire another assistant or another elder who essentially wants to do what you're doing and is waiting for that opportunity, but actually somebody in a different role is huge. And I guess you would share that from your experience, that same opinion.
Yeah, and I can tell you where that came from. So we had an elders day away and we just tried to think, what are the biggest roadblocks that are facing us as a church?
Mm.
And we just graphed it out on urgent and important.
Yeah.
And it actually, as we mapped that out, we just realized that the whole set of things that were the biggest roadblocks from us as we were sort of seeking, just, I'm not talking dramatic growth, you know, we don't have aspirations of being a mega church, but just to grow us through this next phase that's uncomfortable for us as a church. All of them were connected to some things that I just knew as a lead pastor were going to be outside my area of competence and effectiveness.
Yeah.
And there was not going to, you know, another sort of co-pastor role that would solve those problems. Mm-hmm. Just the roadblocks we were looking at, they all kind of coalesced around the operations thing. So we thought long and hard, do we try and have that as just a volunteer role within the church? Because it seemed an enormous cost. We didn't have the money, didn't know where that was going to come from. But just increasingly realized, no, this is something we're going to have to lean into.
Yeah.
And we are going to have to raise the money to do this because it is the big obstacle, the big roadblock for the next however many years.
Yeah. And I love it in, you know, we often quote Acts 6 as we think about that kind of some of those roadblocks there of, you know, but releasing those, you know, Simon and his colleagues enabled the, you know, those early apostles to be focused on prayer and the word. And, you know, later in that chapter, we see, you know, the word grew, the word was preached and the church grew. And you think there's this definite connection between the kind of practical ministry having a spiritual effect on the church. And you know, I'm excited to see what God's going to do with you and for people who are considering these roles, because I think it will generate a healthier and will help to grow the church. And I'm excited about that.
Much. And I think it is just that ongoing awareness that you know, we might break a spiritual, non-spiritual, and just realizing that that's probably a false dichotomy most of the time. And actually, for to have deacons serving who understand why the Hellenistic Jews need to, you know, understanding the racial religious tensions going on is actually really, really important. As I say, I think within having someone within an ops role, that it's not just a passive unspiritual role. I think we've always tried to describe it as a frontline ministry role, but just looking at it in a very different, you know, it just doesn't look quite the same as how pastor kind of functions and works, but recognizing it's part of the smooth running of the church and building things that are healthy and responsive and godly.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Andy, thank you, mate, so much for your time. Thank you for sharing your experience and your story. We love Vic, and she spent the day with us, and she signed up to a kind of administrators conference, which and we're going to be interacting with. And again, just equipping people with that same sense of like, how does the scripture inform the way that we do this? Not just being so task focused, but actually being gospel focused and serving with love and looking at what that looks like. So, yeah, mate, thanks a lot for your time and love connecting.
We're hugely appreciative of the church office and what you guys have done for us, but also what your vision, not just within your own church, but for serving the wider church and sharing these resources at a moment where I think, you know, as charity law, as all, there's all sorts of increase in complexities as that do place some pressures on churches as to how we function. I just, you know, thank you so much for your vision and wisdom and insight into what you guys are doing. Couldn't be more supportive of you guys, so thanks again.
Thanks for sharing that, Andy, that's brilliant. And if you've got any questions that you'd like to kind of follow up with us over our discussion, if you find it helpful to send an administrator to Christchurch to spend a bit of time, then please get in contact. questions@thechurchoffice.co.uk. We would love to serve you. And if there's anything on our website that you think is useful for you to download and to use, then please do that. We want to see churches strengthened and the gospel go out to a lost world. So thanks a lot for listening today, and we'll see you next time on the podcast. All right, speak to you soon. Thanks a lot.